Today, my mom is getting her favorite thing. She likes when I preach from the pulpit, and I hate preaching from the pulpit, but I love my mom and those of you that like when I do. So for those of you that like it, thank her, and if you don't like it, thank her. Today, we finish up our summer sermon series called Jesus Said... All summer long, we've been exploring the teachings of Jesus and how they shape and form us and transform our lives and congregation and world. Today's final topic is, Jesus said, when discouraged, do this. If your soul ever feels discouragement, I encourage you to listen to the Spirit today. Let us pray as we begin. God, as we hear your words shared and proclaimed, open our ears so that we can hear. Free us from distractions around us and within us so that we can listen. Open our minds, give us a glimpse of the divine. And then would you open our spirits that we might be formed and changed by you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Aren't there a lot of things in life that are hard to understand? A lot of things that frustrate and discourage us, things that are almost impossible to comprehend. Why do children contract diseases and die? Why do people so painfully and tragically and early lose their lives? Why is there so much pain and suffering and inequality and injustice in our world? Why does God allow violence to happen, such as all the mass shootings, the latest just yesterday? Why can't people get along even when they see things differently? Why does there need to be so much polarization in society, in religion, in politics? Why do natural disasters seem to occur with increasingly regularity? And why do some of our most intensely prayed prayers seem to go unanswered? Why? Why? Do you ever find yourself asking those kind of questions? When we face the troubles of this world, the heartaches that are a part of earthly living, the difficult challenges that are a part of human existence, where is God in all of this? Today's parable in the 18th chapter of Luke points us toward an answer. Jesus paints a portrait of two people at opposite ends of society. You have an uncaring, arrogant judge and a humble but persistent woman. The judge at first ignores the woman, but eventually he grants her justice because she is so persistent. Now let's be careful here when thinking about this parable. Jesus isn't suggesting that God is like the unjust judge, even though it might feel to us that way from time to time. Jesus is not likening them. He is contrasting them. He is saying to us, if a selfish, arrogant, uncaring judge will help you if you ask, then how much more will God, who loves you unconditionally and sacrificially, help you? Do you know why Jesus told this parable? He told it to emphasize our need to pray always and not lose heart. He told this parable to teach the disciples and ultimately us to be persistent in prayer. Why is persistence in prayer so important? I think it's very important because of that unanswerable list of questions that we all have. It's important because it can be so easy for us to become discouraged when we feel that our prayers are not answered the way we think they should be answered. It's important because all of us experience life's rejections, and it's important because sometimes we simply become weary in the sheer routineness of life. Every single one of us here, no matter how good our lives seem to be, have moments and sometimes even seasons of discouragement. And the message of our scripture today is that prayer and God can see us through. That is a promise of God. I think that if we delve deeper into this parable, in addition to calling us to persistent prayer, it also gives us the opportunity to ponder the root of our discouragement when we face challenges and discouragement in life. Think about it. Could it be that sometimes we are at the root of our own discouragement? That our discouragement often comes not so much from our outward circumstances as it comes from what's going on inside of us, our attitude and our perspective. We've been talking about Kevin Walsh often in service today, and for those of you who don't know Kevin, he's a member of our congregation with cancer and a very active part of this church, dying far too young. Well, I visited Kevin midweek this week, just after he started hospice, and he was struggling with breath, knowing he's in his last days. And I put my hand on him, and I looked him in the eyes and said, "Kevin, how are you?" And he looked me in the eyes. And you know what he said? He said this word, "Blessed." Oh, what it means to live our life with such an attitude and heart that even in the midst of the most terrible disappointment and discouragements, we can see the truth of the matter that we are blessed. Could it also be that the more that we focus on our expectations on what should happen in our lives and what God should do and how the world should work, the more disillusioned we sometimes become? And is it possible that the more we focus on ourselves and our self-perceived notion of what is right and fair, what is good and wrong, the more discouraged we become? We get discouraged when life doesn't seem fair. That makes sense. But when we're really honest about it, isn't fairness usually measured by how it impacts us? We might not think it's fair if we are sick or struggling, or if someone else has more money or talent or better looks than we have. But I wonder, are we as quick to complain about the vast unfairness of the fact that we have better housing and food and health care and religious freedom and education and opportunity than the vast majority of the world? Do we complain about the injustice of that? When we measure things primarily by how they affect and impact us, doesn't that contribute to us becoming frustrated and discouraged with circumstances, with people, with life, and yes, with God? It's interesting that in today's parable, the woman wasn't promised that she would get what she wanted. She wasn't promised that she would get what she asked for, what she thought was fair. Do you remember what she was promised? She was simply promised justice. And we don't know what that justice actually looks like. Isn't it true that the purpose of our lives is far greater than our own personal comfort and fulfillment, our own peace of mind and our happiness? Isn't the purpose of life far greater than our own family, our career, our own church, our dreams, our hopes, and our ambitions, as important as they are? The message of the gospel is that if we want to have meaning and fulfillment in life, if we want to have peace and wholeness, we need to get our eyes off ourselves. We can't begin with our wants and desires, but we need to begin with God and God's kingdom and God's way of living and loving and including people. The early disciples to whom Jesus first told this parable needed to understand this truth. Before Jesus left them, he made it clear to them that they were on a mission to make disciples, followers of Jesus of all nations. They were on a mission that brought us to this place here and now. Life for those early Christians, for those first disciples, was not smooth. It really wasn't easy at all. They didn't persistently pray to God and then, like magic, all their problems were solved. They didn't persistently pray to God and then all their difficult circumstances resolved. Their lives were tough at times, full of peril, trial, persecution, martyrdom, and the temptation to give up. Jesus used today's parable to prepare them for the many times when their patience would be pushed, their faith stretched in the pursuit of their mission. With confidence born of Christ's resurrection, the disciples went to mission. They laid their lives on the line. Their inner contentedness, it wasn't dependent upon their lives being easy and circumstances going their way. They were simply certain that the kingdom of God wasn't just someplace up in heaven, but it was to be right here, right now, and that the world needed to know of God's love and how to be in right relationship with God and how to live with each other in just and loving and inclusive relationship. Those disciples, they believed this, they prayed this, and they acted on this with prayer-filled persistence, just as Jesus taught them to do. And that kept them going. That gave them the inner strength they needed when everything else seemed to be going wrong. That kept them focused on God. Friends in Christ, disciples of our great Lord, do you and I need to wrestle with this parable just as those first disciples did? Do we honestly pray and desire God's will to be done, God's kingdom to come? Or do we actually find ourselves secretly praying for and yearning for our will to be done, our kingdoms to come? And don't our spirits get discouraged when we seek our kingdom and our will instead of God's kingdom and will? And even more than that, when we seek to build our own little kingdoms and put ourselves as the center of the universe, we become content with so much less than God's kingdom, with so much less than what God intends for us. Folks, we have a message and a mission from God. We are called to share love and acceptance and inclusion. We are called to share the ways of God right here and right now, and we are to act as though they are already in place. Nothing less will do. Nothing else will fulfill us. Nothing other will overcome our discouraged spirits and change our world. Here is the message of our mission. Christ is in our midst. He keeps company with those we see as sinners. He responds with grace to everyone who asks and includes everyone. He releases captives from bondage. He works for justice hand in hand with us. He brings life and purpose to all who seek. He walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death, assuring us that, lo, we are never alone, and one day all powers of death will be defeated. Beloved ones, God's kingdom is at hand right now, right here, and we are Christ's hands and we are Christ's heart that bring about God's kingdom right here on earth. That is the message of our mission. That's what we need to remember. And that's what we need to live out in our actions and words. That's why we seek to offer hope and healing in all that we say and do. That's what will move us from discouragement to life and purpose and hope and joy. Do you remember the story of Thomas Dorsey? How in 1932 he was scheduled to be the featured soloist in a St. Louis church. His wife was expecting a baby at the time, and he was worried about leaving her home in Chicago, but he kept his commitment. During his performance, a telegram arrived that had just four words: "Your wife just died." He returned home to find that his wife had given birth to a son just before she died, but later that night, the baby died. He buried his wife and their son, and then Dorsey simply fell apart. He secluded himself. He felt that God had done him a great injustice, and at the same time, he yearned for God. Have you ever felt that dichotomy, feeling that God has abandoned you and at the same time you are yearning for God like never before? That's what happened with Dorsey. One day he sat down at his piano. His hands began to move over the keys, and he recognized God's presence. It felt to him as though he could reach out and touch God. And he found himself playing a melody that he had never heard before. And suddenly the words came into his head. They seemed to just fall into place. We sang them today. Say them now with me. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Dorsey was absolutely convinced that the words and melody came to him as a direct gift of God to help and heal him and to offer hope and healing to others. Let's pause now and go a little deeper. Get a little more personal. What about you? Are you going through a storm? Are you experiencing discouraging circumstances? The truth of the matter is that often we can't change the storm or the circumstances, but we can have control over how we respond to the storm, how we let life's circumstances affect us and change us, and that makes all the difference in our sense of well-being and peace and hope and purpose and joy. What storms are you facing right now? What daunting challenges are before you? What keeps you from restful sleeping at night? Are you ready to ask God to take your hand and lead you on, even when you're weary and disappointed and discouraged, even when you are filled with questions, even when you can't understand God's plan? Beloved ones, here's the message of today's parable. When we are discouraged, keep calling out to God, keep believing, keep pressing forward, keep seeking God's kingdom, which is present right here and right now. And here is the promise of today's parable. The God who loves us will hear our prayer, will take our hand, will help us. For lo, Jesus says, I am with you always. What a promise. What a hope and strength and help in times of discouragement. What a promise in all times. Would you bow your head and pray with me? God, you invite us to pray to you and to never lose heart and you promise to grant us not necessarily what we want, but what we most need. There are many things in this world that make it easy for us to lose heart. So much we don't understand. So many questions, disappointment, and discouragement. So many fears. Lord, whatever we are going through today, will you take our hands, lead us as we live each day moment by moment, and guide us as we go through our storms. Help us to move forward, persistent in prayer, always seeking your hope and healing, and always offering your love and promises to all others. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.